Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. Thanks very much for hanging out with me. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. And I'm glad you're here. Art Kleiner is here, ladies and gentlemen. I'm glad he's hanging out with us today, too. Art is a good friend of ours, a member of our Brain Trust, editor-in-chief of Strategy Plus Business, which is a Booze & Company quarterly publication. He's also the author of The Age of Heretics, which is an outstanding book that he published, I should say. It probably took him years to write it, as most do, but he published it last year. It's still pretty much a new book, though, and he's our good friend. Art Kleiner, welcome back to the show.
Thanks so much, Jim. Very glad to be here.
It's good to have you back. Art, you're a smart guy. You've been around a while, and you're like me. This isn't your first goat roping. You've been through a few things before. As you look across the landscape of the marketplace, Are you more hopeful? Are you still hopeful, or are you concerned? Are you frightened? What's your mood right now?
Well, everybody who's paying attention is concerned and frightened, and you know, I'm not the only person. Let me put it this way: among my acquaintances are people who have lost work, who are sliding back, who are I know some people who were very affected by the Bernard Madoff thing personally.
Oh, really? Yeah.
Yeah. I know people running foundations who are, you know, wondering if they're going to be around. I know people running businesses who are wondering if they're going to be around. There's huge reason to be concerned. At the same time, you know, people who are saying, you know, this calls into question capitalism, or, you know, is it a matter of the government versus business? I think a lot of that is kind of a red herring. The reasons why the meltdown happened so suddenly probably come, you know, you can look at it in a lot of different ways, but I look at it as really the growing pains of a speculative economy, or maybe the dying pains of a speculative part of an economy, with a lot of different things coming to light when values start to emerge out from under the speculation. Now that that's happened, you know, for a business owner, the big question is, what do you need to do to stay afloat until you can start making money from real returns on what you produce?
I think that's where we are right now. I mean, the sorting out of how we got here and who caused it and who's to blame, that's for the government, the lawyers, the prosecutors, the historians, and the forensics guys. We're running businesses. Our audience is running businesses. You know, our focus is where do we go forward from here? How do we get out of here? And how do we get back on track? What do you think about that?
Well, we just ran a cover story on that. It's called Seven Ways Forward. We looked at it from seven different directions. So, for instance, for manufacturing, there's a whole way in which, well, you know, that we've had a glut of manufactured goods. One of the big issues is that there was simply too much, is probably still too much to buy because of the availability of cheap credit.
Right.
And so sooner or later, it didn't
cheap
take...
Cheap credit, credit is cheap, but is it available?
Well, it was both cheap and available. And during that time, you know, a lot of entrepreneurs and a lot of established businesses, for sometimes simply to beat competitors, basically made too many things, and didn't invest enough in customer relationships. So one of the things, you know, so for a manufacturing company, your listeners probably know this already, there's a whole discipline involved in figuring out which products are unprofitable.
Mm-hmm.
And cutting some of those loose.
And which customers are unprofitable? We talk about that on the show today, here too.
And conversely, for the customers that are profitable, what do they, what can you do for them that you're not already doing? How do you cement that relationship? It's always made sense, but it was easy to ignore during a flush time. Now it's sort of the critical thing, and it's as true for big businesses as it is for small. I think there's a whole level at which people will be looking at things like information technology differently. I think there's...
How will they look at it differently?
Well, I think there are a lot of things that we sort of put onto personal computers that we're now going to relinquish back to the cloud.
Cloud computing. We've been talking about that quite a bit lately.
Yeah, and there's going to be a lot more talk about it. There's going to be a lot more opportunities to collaborate with, you know, to make alliances with other small businesses. There's going to be...
Art, hold on to that thought a second. Folks, when he's talking about the cloud, if you remember, I interviewed Maya Sisk with IBM last week on the cloud, on cloud computing. I wrote an article about it. There's a blog post on my blog about it. This is where the power, your processing power, and maybe even some of your storage is not on your desktop. It's actually on someone else's server through which you buy an application to get that, and you buy it incrementally. You buy that access incrementally rather than owning it outright. That's what Art's talking about. Go ahead, Art.
Yeah, and because of that, you have a lot of capabilities you otherwise wouldn't have. Capabilities for sharing data and yet controlling data. You can buy, you know, instead of a personal computer costing $1,500 fully loaded, you buy a much less expensive one, and you have much more, and you have people carrying it around with them.
So what you're really talking about, though, Art, is not so much all that much different attitude about technology, although that is evolving every minute. You're really talking about how we capitalize technology, aren't you?
I'm talking about where you keep your data.
Mm-hmm.
You know, having a trusted relationship with the vendor out in the cloud is probably paramount. Having that relationship shared with other people who are suppliers or customers for you is probably critical. Being willing to change your business, you know, your operations approach, based, you know, and take advantage of efficiencies and new ways of doing things is going to be critical. I wish I could be more specific about it, but it varies.
No, that's good. You're doing good. And the thing is, before we go to the break, I wanted to make sure we got an ROI here on this. Folks, not only are you going to be better off because you're collaborating with these people, not only will you be more likely to build a partnership with a customer this way, but back to the capitalization thing, you won't have to borrow a bunch of money to get that power. The more you work in the cloud, the more you can pay incrementally for what you need, you know, pay as you go, so to speak, and you can use that precious capital to do other things. 20 after, right back with Art Kleiner. His book is called The Age of Heretics. Stay with us. I'm Jim Blasingame.
You should know that life is a gamble. Ever since I was a young boy,
that's The Who, folks, from the Pinball Wizard, the rock opera. Tommy. Welcome back. It's 23 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. My website is smallbusinessadvocate.com. I hope you check that out when you get a chance. Use it to your advantage. We built it just for you. You can find my blog there. Don't forget to check out my blog post today. It's titled The Truth About Taxing Those Wealthy Small Business Owners. And that's at smallbusinessadvocate.com, or you can go directly to the blog by going to jimsblog.biz. Don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter when you get to my website. Check out everything we got there. We built it for you. If you got 5 seconds or 15 minutes or anywhere in between, we've got something you can read or listen to there that will help you with your small business. Art Kleiner is our guest. Art is the editor-in-chief of the Booze Company's publication, the quarterly publication, Strategy Plus Business. He's the author of The Age of Heretics, which is an outstanding book. I recommend it to you. It's a history of radical thinkers, folks. And Art, you know how much I love radical thinkers, me being one of those guys. I'm probably in the minor league compared to some of your guys, but I'm aspiring to be that. It's much more fun. It's much more fun to be an instigator. You know it, Art?
Very much. And it's not like there's a contest. There's no,
right,
like sort of Olympic medal. That's, you know, one gets rated one and another gets rated two.
It's kind of, you know, if you can get into the attitude of it, if you can kind of get into the flow of it, it's fun being a heretic. because you still stand for something, but you just stand for something different, right?
Well, and I've noticed, too, that people are rewarded for being heretics more than they think they will be. You know, it's like anything else. So much depends on how well you do it.
Yeah, exactly. Well, let's get back into our subject here. Oh, by the way, give us the website. Tell us how we can find you and find your book.
Thank you. So it's www.strategy-business.com for the magazine. We have to use a hyphen because they won't let us use a plus in the Internet. Strategy-business.com. And my own book, probably the easiest way is my name, artkleiner.com, www.artkleiner.com.
And that's K-L-E-I-N-E-R. If you're Googling him, you're looking for his website there, artkleiner.com. I hope you'll check that out, folks. Art, you know, one of the things that I want you to help us with in the time we have left is think about your lead story, Seven Ways Forward, the people you interviewed in these different areas, management, manufacturing, marketing, trade, aerospace, et cetera. What did you learn from those guys? What can we learn from those guys that will help us today? I mean, some of the stuff we talked about, you and I talked about earlier, is spot on, is right on the money, is something we're absolutely going to need as we go forward in our businesses. But as you alluded to in the very first words out of your mouth, you and I both know people who are saying, how am I going to make it till tomorrow?
Mm-hmm.
So how do we help those guys?
Well, some of it, unfortunately, is, you know, the old disciplines of cutting back, et cetera, that people are already trying to do or are being forced to do.
Yeah.
For businesses, there's a lot of capital tied up in things like accounts payable and accounts receivable still.
Inventory.
Yeah. That, you know, still can be extracted. And, you know, and there's a lot, you know, and big businesses are coming to terms with a kind of frugality that they haven't had to exercise in a long time. Some of the people I'm talking to are talking about the advantages of barter and sort of non-monetary ways of going forward.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there is going to be a lot more of that, particularly for small businesses, and particularly in a long-term way as opposed to a short-term way.
So you're saying you think barter is going to become more of a way of life instead of a means to an end?
I think it's going to be different than barter, per se. I think people, you know, one of the big issues of global business is the question, how much are you entrenched in your own community? I think now we're going to start seeing people building communities, whether they're online or local, that involve a lot of different things. For instance, you may have people working for you who aren't paid, but who are working for some other reason, you know, either because it's part of their education or because you're working with them together on a kind of a collective community issue.
Mm-hmm.
Even if you're a supplier, you may be, you may want to spend a lot of time doing things that aren't strictly oriented towards making a buck for the moment because they build out your business. I'm seeing that in my own magazine. You know, a lot
right.
of the, you know, our firm is also, you know, facing the crunch and,
right.
You know, things are getting tough.
Everything's being revalued is what you're saying, I think, isn't it?
Well, yeah, and you know,
values, I don't necessarily mean that values are going down. They may be or they may not be, but the way we think about the value, the way we think about how we acquire things and how we provide things to other people, that's being reordered, isn't it?
Well, it's getting simpler, and you know, I've spent a lot of time interviewing people. Some of the heretics were proponents of the simple life, and it's very easy to think that you're sort of living simply when you're actually not.
Mm-hmm.
Now, people, you know, especially business decision makers, some of them are finding that there just aren't that many decisions to make anymore.
Yeah.
And you can, and it's clarifying. And
I like Occam's Razor's approach, right? You know Occam's Razor? The simplest solution is usually the best.
Right. And in this case, the simplest solution may be to not think about growing for a while, but to, you know, sort of... And I say all these things, and again, it varies from company to company.
Right. I've been saying for a long time now, Art, that in 2009, it's not a bad strategy to say I'm going to win by surviving.
Yeah. And by positioning myself for where I really want to be in the next phase.
Well said. Art Kleiner, ladies and gentlemen, the author of The Age of Heretics, outstanding book, the magazine Strategy Plus Business. Art, thanks for being here. Good job today. We'll see you next
time.
Thanks
so much.
quick break. Stay with me. I'll be right back.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.